Vilfredo Pareto found that 80% of the land in Italy was owned by 20% of the population. Many natural statistic phenomena are distributed according to this power law statistic, meaning that it is common to find that 80% of the results one can experience can come from 20% of the actions they took to get those results. How amazing would it be if we could do way less work but still get the exact same result we are getting? In this episode, we will discuss what we believe can be the top things that you want to do to get the results that you're after.
So the big question is this: how do veterinarians like you, who live demanding lives,
who never seem to have enough time, able to achieve balance and take control of your finances with confidence?
That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers.
We are Florida Veterinary Advisors, and this is the Smarter Vet Podcast. Hey, Smarter Vet, this is Tom Seco and CJ Burnett. We're financial advisors that work with veterinarians, practice owners, and the veterinary community across the U.S.
Make sure to check out all of our other great resources available on our website, such as complimentary financial race CEs, masterclasses, assessments, videos, and articles. You can find them all by visiting flvetadvisors.com. If you're finding this podcast to be helpful, make sure to rate and review us on Apple or Spotify. If not, give us a rating on the Smarter Vet Podcast Facebook page and follow us there.
Welcome, Smarter Vet. If this is your first time that you've listened to our show, we're really glad to have you here. And if you're one of our avid listeners, you might hear some of these certain conversations. We talk about them in different contexts and different ways as we've gone through our show. And as some of you might know, that CJ and I are huge book readers. We love to learn. We love to self-educate. And there's been a common theme popping up a lot lately where I believe CJ and I, we do it almost subconsciously now, since we've been, introduced to the concept many, many years ago. And it's this whole idea of being able to get more from the things that you're engaging in by focusing on the very select few things that are out there. And if any of you are not familiar with it, it's called the Pareto rule, which the Pareto rule is what, there's this whole 80-20 concept of 80% of anything you do in your life, business, work, friends, family, whatever you could think of it, is usually created from about 20% of your efforts that are out there. And it's almost like this really interesting natural law that was discovered by this person a long time ago.
Around today's culture, a lot of people, with our culture being so obsessed with getting information, right, having information literally at our fingertips, I think a lot of people find it very hard to know what exactly are they doing that gets them the results that they get. With financial entertainers that are out there to distract us, day-to-day responsibilities to distract us, very rarely something that pops up in my life that is really urgent and important. I think a lot of the times there are fires that we put out in our life that we think that are really requiring our attention when really they're not. And I think we oftentimes use them as excuses to avoid the actual hard work, the things that we know we should be doing that are going to actually create the results that we're after, but we're trying to postpone doing that work. And sometimes the fire that's in front of me that kind of looks like it needs to be put out is going to take over. And I'm going to want to do that more so than the other things that in my life. And I always think of, even things like food, right? Oftentimes it's easier to just kind of like, oh, I've got to put out all these fires, but like, I'm just going to eat the Snickers bar real fast and I'm not going to have a healthy meal. I'm just going to eat the Snickers, right? It's like, so...
Or the bag of Cheetos.
Yeah, you know, bag of Cheetos, like whatever comes out of the machine is what I'm just going to eat, because at the end of the day, I've got all this work to do and I don't have time to eat. I don't have time to prepare anything. And even though we know to a certain degree that what we put in our bodies is going to affect us very long term, and we think, well, you know, if we do it one time, two times, three times, 80 times, eventually it does catch up with us, where we're ignoring the things that are actually important to us, that like nutrition and making sure that our bodies are taken care of, all at the altar of making sure that everybody else is taken care of for.
It's an interesting thought to think about that too, CJ, because our lives in today's society, it seems like we keep speeding up and speeding up and speeding up. And it's a lot of us do not take the or make the effort to really dial in on the things that are important to us in our lives. And I think it was something we'd mentioned in a past conversation, was around the amount of advertisements that we see in a day between scrolling through social media and billboards that are out there, entertainers that are throwing stuff out at us. It constantly causes a lot of distraction. It causes a lot of fog. And I will say even these, I get sucked into it if I'm not careful some days, those Facebook reels and TikToks and all those things, like they easily start pulling me away from other things in my life that are important. It's very easy to binge watch a television series in comparison to actually go reading a book and being more focused on the things that are more vital than important. And, you know, with the thing of life, which is being very, let's say, fast paced and ongoing. And I'm sure any of you who are living in the major cities would understand the hustle and bustle, because it's like a nonstop. And I was talking to someone the other day where it was, they're in like a small town, and they just, I think it was actually in Omaha when I got stuck in Omaha. It's like a slow culture and there's not a whole lot going on here. So the pace is a bit different. So maybe they can concentrate on things a bit more. And our attention gets very diverted. And I'm sure some of you have had this experience. Maybe some of you haven't, but there's this thing about finding the latest and greatest investments that are out there. And they spend so much time trying to chase after the things that are out there that can get them better results in their life. Or when it comes to buying insurances, people can get really sucked into the weeds around what they should be buying and how they should be buying it. And they can spend so much time analyzing something that really it's not producing them what they really want from their life.
I think with insurance, it's also, you know, there's a, you don't just like buy whatever you can, but you also don't want to sit there and peel apart every little thing. You probably don't have enough time to do that, but you know, some of us can actually get stuck in like the, you know, different parts of an insurance policy, not recognizing that that part probably doesn't mean as much as other parts. And, you know, and they delay making a decision around insurance, and therefore, you know, that delay may go on long enough where they just eventually forget about it. Even buying a business or knowing exactly how much time do you spend on figuring out how much money is going towards your lifestyle. I mean, if you do budget, like how much time should you spend on a budget? Should that be a sole focus of what you're doing? I know that especially when you start tracking calories, like at first it's like labor intensive. You don't, you know, you're learning all of the different things that you eat and how much calories are actually associated with those. Over time though, it does become easier and easier. I know that whenever I started tracking in the apps that are available, it was first I had to find the stuff. Eventually, once I found the stuff, then it was like every time I added, it was easier to just keep going on and tracking what I was eating and putting in my body. But I think something's to be said about just starting on a path and starting at least learning things and then recognizing over time what is the most important versus what is really just a distraction.
All these things, I think a term that we use very often, CJ, is like this whirlwind of stuff that's constantly happening from our one of our favorite books, The Four Disciplines of Execution. It's like there's this whirlwind of things that are constantly going on that are pulling at us, and it's like they distract us and they don't help us focus in on the things that really matter to us. And there's a quote that I really like, and I'm sure some of you most of you are like, I will say, science nerds as well, if you're a veterinarian because of your biology background and everything. Albert Einstein had said that energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be changed from one form to another. And this really like comes on the factor of like, I don't know if you can identify with this. However, there are times of the day that you're going to be very peak energy if you've been very cognizant and aware of that. And there's going to be times of the day where you're going to have drops in energy. And sometimes the things that we do require a lot of mental energy. I know some stuff that I've been read not too long ago is around how our brain, like the prefrontal cortex of our brain, absorbs like a bulk of the energy per day. And when we're focusing our efforts on so many different things, our energy can get zapped from different spots, and then we tend to neglect or we tend to delay other things that we really want to be focusing in on our life, and really being able to dial in on, you know, what are those critical, let's say 20% of things in my life that really matter. It could be anything from fitness to it could be finances. It could be things with friendships, and being able to dial in to be able to say like, where am I spending this energy? Because we don't have an infinite amount each day. Like, I'm sure there's like, you know, CJ and I, we talk about this a lot sometimes, like by time, like 11 o'clock in the morning, we're like, I'm zapped, I'm done. And we sometimes record these shows on Friday afternoons, and it's, you know, we're like, man, it's getting towards the end of the day where it's ready to shut off.
That has a lot to do with just as you start your day, usually you have some people start their day with a lot of energy. Some people don't. Some people have to ramp up, right? That's what caffeine is for a lot of people. But over time throughout the day, as your brain, as the calories that you use, because your brain actually does use calories, the more decisions that you have throughout the day, the more you will experience decision fatigue. It's one of the reasons why we get to dinner and then we go, I don't care what I have for dinner. Just give me freaking anything. Like just any, I'll take anything and everything. Put a Snickers bar in front of me. I don't care. I'm eating whatever I can find because I'm so tired of making decisions. And I think that, you know, dwelling on things that really do not matter early on in the day can actually cause us to get in a spot throughout the day where at some point we might have more critical decisions that we have to make, especially if you're in business or if you're in vet med. Towards the end of the day, you might have critical decisions that you have to make. And if your energy is low, or if you've already kind of used up all that energy, then, you know, it's now transferred to other places. That energy was transferred to things that actually probably did not matter as much as the things that you're doing right now, but you didn't know that at 3:00 PM, you were going to have this more important decision to make. And I think just kind of recognizing like your energy has to go somewhere. And if you're going to put it somewhere, we might as well be very strategic on how we use that energy and where that energy is placed to get the most amount of benefit out of it. Because if we're, you know, if 80% of our results are produced by 20% of our efforts, well, then where should the 20% of our efforts really go?
You got me thinking almost like a flashback here, CJ, around because it's like what Steve Jobs, he wore like a t-shirt and a pair of jeans every day.
It was a black shirt.
The same thing every day. Yeah, he did not have to think about it. Like he woke up, he just put it on. You know, especially like I think of my breakfast. Like every day I eat egg whites, couple eggs, some turkey bacon, and maybe some toast. And it's like the same thing every day. I don't have to think much about it. I just kind of go on autopilot. I make it and I eat it. And it's interesting the dialogue I have with my wife about it at times because she's like, she wants variety. And I'm like, it just requires so much of me to actually get to that point of being able to think of it. So, and I'm sure a lot of you who are listening can really resonate. There's some things in your life that you probably feel energy zapped from because of the amount of decisions that are necessary to get there. Look, there is no perfect time to start anything. So maybe you should consider starting today. We created a brief 10-question quiz that will give you a financial checkup to make sure you're addressing every corner of your finances. This can include things from how you're protecting yourself from risk with regards to different insurances and ownership of things, how much you're actually saving for wealth building opportunity compared to what's getting zapped into your lifestyle, and building up a balanced asset portfolio, not just focused on risk, but also on taxes and accessibility. Take the quick quiz now by clicking on the link in the description of this podcast or visit our website at flvetadvisors.com to take the assessment.
So when we think about our finances, where should we be focusing our attention to minimize the amount of energy we spend that's actually needed to get better outcomes within that part of our lives?
When we work with clients, we usually see there's people are focusing about 80% of their energy on these specific types of things. So like chasing investment returns is something that people are always talking about. Like, how do I get the latest and greatest? And especially the way our industry had worked for the longest time as well. There's stockbrokers before, you know, planners came around and investment advisors and all this other jazz. But now it's just like it's becoming easier to not have to dig through a lot of stuff to get to it, but you could spend so much of your time trying to get better returns on things that you lose track of. Well, I think
there are some veterinarians that believe that if they, you know, just created a portfolio of real estate, then it would make their life easier. And maybe it would, right? For some people, it probably would. And for others, the way they were going about doing it was just creating another job for them because they were going to have to manage the properties. They were going to have to fix the thing that's broken, or at least find some, you know, hire somebody who to fix the thing that's broken. And so even investment returns, we're not just talking about stocks and bonds and mutual funds and things like that, but just overall, sometimes people are chasing after things to produce more income for them, not realizing that they're just switching one job for another. And in fact, if you're a veterinarian and then you go basically make another job for yourself as like property manager, that's probably actually going to, it could per hour be actually less than what you're making as a veterinarian.
There's this other one that we see people zap in their energy. It's really trying to focus on creating a budget. And this is kind of a twofold here. There's the people that dive in and like really embrace it and get it done. And they make it kind of like a habit of theirs. And then there's the people that like, I'm sure a lot of you can relate with this, where it's just like, it lingers in your brain. It's like once you see something, you can't unsee it. Or once you get so absorbed into something, it just becomes like constantly a thought that you're thinking about. And it just, it's instead of doing something with it, a lot of times people will not do something about it and they keep stressing themselves out and they're over here feeling like they're living paycheck to paycheck and they're just not doing anything to get ahead. And it's incredible just the amount of people out there from you could be making $50,000 a year or making up to $1 million a year. And we still see the same struggles that people have when it comes to how they manage their income.
And it probably isn't, I mean, we show clients all the time how maintaining a budget is actually very not, it's not time intensive at all. It should actually be very simple, very easy. I think a lot of the times people spend a lot of time figuring out or asking people for other people for advice. Like they go to everyone about all like just the tiniest little financial decision. And they're asking their mother, their brother, their sister, their cousin, their coworker, their boss, right? Their kids. Like they're asking everybody just for advice in a particular area of their financial life, but they're not actually taking like actual action on any of it. They're just constantly asking questions.
There's the thought also around worrying about the economy. And I was thinking there's two thoughts to this right here. There's the worry about the economy and the fact of I'm just not going to do anything. Like I'm so panicked about it. And like, all I think about is like, what's the next catastrophic thing that's going to happen? Or there's the flip side of it where constantly jumping from one stone to another. I'm like feeling like I need to pivot every day. It's something new. It's something new. It's something new. And it's like so much time and energy gets wasted on that. And then also the other thought here is around, we're following other people, spending so much time seeing what other people are doing and following their steps and completely losing sight of what really matters to us, what really matters to you when it comes to your plan.
So let's talk about what people should be focusing 20% of their energy on, which I think one of the things that I would love to see people spend a lot of their energy on is building and maintaining a consistent savings habit. Like that's, I think that if you can, that's one of those things where if you get that down right and you can be consistent on savings, then that, I think that energy is way more beneficial to spend than a lot of the energy spent worrying about the economy or asking people all the questions in the world.
And what's interesting about that you bring that up, CJ, because, savings, it's, if we can really start focusing in on instead of letting our lifestyle take the priority, and we can make savings the first priority and be able to limit the amount of excessive spending that we do. Because it's like the concept you always bring up too, where it's around Thanksgiving. Yeah, you go there, there's all this food. I'm guilty of it too, or a buffet. I think this past week at the conference, like every time I'd go to the buffet, I'm just like literally buffet lines. You just keep stacking it up and then you fill it up and then you eat the entire plate of food. So it's like, with our money, it's very easy to have it deposited in our bank account. And unless you come from a background of being kind of frugal, which can also work against you, that you might end up spending so much of it. And then you're like, crap, I didn't save what I needed to. I didn't put away the money that I thought I would. Another good spot that people could be putting their attention on is adding, refining, and deleting goals at least quarterly. We call them often reasons for planning, or RFPs for short, more acronyms, gotta love the acronyms, but it's easier to remember acronyms sometimes, to reasons for planning. A lot of people do not even have reasons for planning, or maybe they've mentally done it. Just like when people jokingly have said to me in the past, I'm mental budget. And I'm like, what does that mean? And they're like, well, I know what I spend kind of ish per month in my mind. And then when we actually list it out, it's like, no, you're about 50% off. Like there's things in here you're missing that you did not have added into this mental budget of yours. But then it's a lot of people don't even have goals. Two, they haven't even written them down. And three, they never go back to them and add or refine or delete them as time progresses. So it's like their life is constantly responding and reacting to the things that are around them, going back to following people, worrying about the economy, the next greatest thing that's out there that they're now trying to buy. And they lose sight of what truly matters to them. So it's like spending that part of that 20% of your time just understanding your reasons for planning and referring back to them often and modifying them.
Because that tremendous force you to reflect on what's important to you as well. Learning bits and pieces to become slightly more knowledgeable. I think if people could just get here and there, right? Like maybe read a book. Read a book on financial stuff. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to read a book in a week, right? You read maybe 10 pages a week, maybe one page a day, whatever it is that you find, to just get little bits and pieces to become slightly more knowledgeable around financial topics and don't really think too hard about like what exactly you need to be learned. Just learn anything and everything.
And we had to throw this one in here, of course, because, you know, I don't veterinarian. That's not even really a phrase, but people say they don't math when they talk to us. And it's, you know, this is why people bring their pets to the vet, because it's like, I don't know how to care for my dog or my cat or my iguana or whatever it is in a way that you all would know how to care for it. And this is the same thing when it comes to financial advice. So it's like, you know, we can try to be an expert at everything, expert in everything and become a jack of all trades. And it's one thing is being able to outsource 80%, the other 80% of professionals that can actually support you in this. And one thing is like in planning as well, it's sometimes we find that it's challenging for people to understand when they should be even considering someone, because it's really, you know, I would say the best focus that you should be wanting to work with someone is that you're trying to create good habits and behaviors, and there's someone to keep you accountable. Like, that's really the goal behind it. Like, are you being held accountable? And if someone doesn't have a aligned interest with you of like what you're trying to accomplish, then you might want to consider who you're working with. But it's hard at times while we're juggling the other priorities in our lives. So like, how do we make sure that's why CJ and I, we use an accountant, we have attorneys that we work with, we have business coaches and executives and all these people we work with ourselves, because for us to learn and try to figure all this out on our own, oh my gosh, the amount of energy and time it takes for us to become experts I don't think it would ever happen. Like, it's just so much.
I think specifically talking about the 80-20 rule, most people don't realize that the top 20% of income earners make about $200,000 per year. So, and a lot of people listening to this show, you know, when we say 200,000 per year, we're talking about gross income, 200,000 per year, right? So that may not be what hits your bank account, but if you think about like, if you're married or if you're in an emergency vet or you're out there, like, If your household makes more than $200,000 per year, you are in the top 20% of income earners in the United States. And if you don't feel like it, believe me, that's what we hear. We hear a lot of people say, I don't feel like it. I feel like I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I feel like I'm not getting ahead. I feel. And you know what? Yeah, that's because it's not a money thing. It's not, math is not the issue, right? It's rather just being able to wrap your hands around your money to get full control over what's going on, because no one's taught you, right? Very few people actually graduate high school knowing how to even write a check. Then they go to college, they learn all this stuff around vet med, but no one's actually teaching them how to manage. Like, if you want to know how to work with money, work first and foremost on being a student of ourselves. If we can work on being students of ourselves, we learn how we interact with money. Oftentimes that makes decisions easier. And now I know exactly where to apply the pressure to make the most amount of benefit, get the most amount of benefit out of the money that I'm earning.
And that's an incredible thought you bring up there, because, you know, the more that we can become a little bit more knowledgeable in some of these things too, it's really, it can give us that confidence in that to make those decisions a lot easier, which is part of our whole mission when it is to working with people. And I would say that people who are listening to this, if you're like, wow, this is a lot of good stuff, what should I try to take away from this? Like, what could I focus around? And I believe, and I would speak on behalf of CJ here as well, it's like, the reason why we feel the stress or that we don't have much left over every time with our money is because we don't know what we really want. And what we mean by that, we don't know what our goals are. We don't know what our reasons for planning are. We let life keep happening. And then we keep spending and we keep doing things and we think this is what we should be doing. But ultimately, there is a misalignment between what you really truly want versus what reality is. And if you're not focusing on what you want from your life, it's always going to be a struggle. So like, if you are one of those people, so I find it incredible the people we work with that will say to us, yeah, I feel great because like we've dialed in on their reasons for planning, we're working towards them, and they don't feel that their life is constantly paycheck to paycheck. And they've gotten out of that mentality of what that is. So reflecting on those things is important. I would suggest too, people should be doing it at least quarterly, once a quarter. Michael Hyatt, I think, got us in the habit of doing that. We're glad you're a listener of our show. We hope you find our episodes to be helpful. And if you are, one thing that you can really do to help us out is go to Apple or Spotify and give us a rating. By giving us a rating helps other people be able to see our show and to be able to engage with the same content that you're getting to enjoy. And at the same time, if there is an episode that you really love, maybe it's this one or one of the other of our many, many episodes we've released, share it with a friend, even three, and let them know about our show because they might find the same value that you are.
Don't forget to visit our website and sign up for our newsletter. By subscribing, you'll be the first to know about upcoming race-approved CE webinars, podcast releases, short presentations, and articles that we publish. Make sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on LinkedIn, and subscribe to our YouTube channel.
CJ Burnett and Tom Seiko are registered representatives and financial advisors of Park Avenue Securities, LLC, and financial representatives of the Guardian Life Insurance Company of America, New York, New York. CJ Burnett's and Tom Seiko's California licenses are 0K79676 and 0K80141, respectively. Security products and advisory services are offered through Park Avenue Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer, investment advisor, member of FINRA and the SIPC, and a wholly owned subsidiary of Guardian. Florida Veterinary Advisors is not an affiliate or subsidiary of Park Avenue Securities or Guardian. This podcast is for information purposes only. Guest speakers and their firms are not affiliated with or endorsed by Park Avenue Securities, Guardian, or Florida Veterinary Advisors, and opinions stated are their own.
This material is intended for general use. By providing the content, Park Avenue Securities, LLC, and your financial representative are not undertaking to provide investment advice or make a recommendation for a specific individual or situation, or to otherwise act in a fiduciary capacity. All investments contain risk and may lose value. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. The individuals associated with Florida Veterinary Advisors do not maintain specialized licenses or qualifications for the financial services provided to veterinary professionals. Florida Veterinary Advisors is not registered in any state or with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission as a registered investment advisor.
Submission number 20241713 84 expires March 2026.